You comfortable? You comfortable? I'm not asking if you make an honest living. I'm just asking if you're comfortable. Are you sitting in a nice chair with arms? Chairs with arms and legs? Are you comfortable? Got a little sandwich? A nice little beverage with you? All right. You ready? Take a deep breath. Breathe out. You ready? Let's do this.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Here we go.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I gotta tell you a very sad story that
Whatever.
Happened. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the fill in the blank, whatever. Whatever you want me to be, I will be. I'll be whatever you want. I'm your radio bitch. You might want to close the door and make sure no one hears you doing this, because this is, you know what I'm saying. A lot of people say this show is weird. A lot of people don't. I mean, there's an argument they're having between each other, and it's, you know, it's whatever, whatever. My name is Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. If you've never heard this program before, there's probably a reason for that. You didn't know it was here, and hopefully this will become a part of your daily life. I had trouble saying that with a straight face as well. We just have fun here, man. We laugh and we look at the world around us, and you can't take it too seriously. My God, you can't. And we talk to guests and learn things together and get information, and we dissect frogs together. Oh, man, that was the worst. You went to school, right? I assume you went to school at some point, unless my audience is all 5-year-olds, and I'm not sure. It could be. I don't doubt it.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
See, that's what I mean. I think it's all kids that listen to this show. I think I'm a kid show sometimes. By the way, the girl that did that little thing you just heard, she's now 72 years old. That's how long I've been doing this show. It's phenomenal. It's almost true. It's just the sad part of this whole thing. Anyway, how you doing? Oh, I came to a revelation yesterday. I will admit that I take drugs. I take drugs every day, but not recreationally. I take them because my doctor tells me to. When I go to see my doctor, she says, it's a woman, by the way, so whatever she says to me is like a double hit, you know, like it tells me that I'm fairly sickly and I'm also emasculated at the same time. You know, when a woman tells you you got to take pills because you're not doing well, you don't feel like a sex magnet, you know. It's not like, okay, baby, doctor, throw me back on that silly little examining table and let's do it. It just, you know, it just emasculates you entirely. she's got a chart. You got problems with your body. You think I find that sexy? No, they don't. Not that I ever wanted to have sex with my doctor. My God, I never did, because they're too motherly. You know, I could never do that. You can't have sex with your doctor.
I'm addicted to it.
You can't do it. You can't do it. Who is that? Who is that talking? Yeah, it's not like you're sitting on the examining table. Take your clothes off, Ron, and sit on the table. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to examine you. And then there's a knock at the door, you know. Okay, you can come in, doctor. And the doctor comes in, the female doctor. You know, it's... Hey, Ron, have you lost weight? Well, yes, you told me to lose weight last time I was here. You said if I didn't lose weight, I would die.
Well, you're looking good. Okay, it's time for the examination. You've taken all your clothes off, and you're wearing that silly hospital gown that I asked you to put on. It looks so hot on you. Okay, stick your tongue out. Oh, baby. Okay, take a deep breath and hold it. Whoa. Your chest is so rock hard, Ron. Now I'm going to examine your prostate. I want you to bend over. You won't feel a thing, but I will. Ooh, 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 ooh. You've got a tight booty, Ron. Ooh, this is why I'm a doctor. Okay, now, drop your pants. I'm going to look at little Willy, if you know. Ooh, it's so wonderful.
It doesn't happen like that at all. My doctor does not find me attractive at all. She's a female. My doctor has a vagina. And in the back of my mind, I remember that, you know. She comes in there, you know, reeking of medical tools, you know, like, I'm going to examine your entire body. She's the only woman who's ever seen my penis and hasn't been interested. She's the only one. Usually when I'm showing my penis to somebody, they kind of wanted to see it for enjoyable reasons. Not her. She just wants to examine it like some type of artifact. I mean, it's emasculating to have a female doctor. The fantasies are interesting, but they never go any further than that. So anyway, so I take drugs every day, and one of the drugs that I take is Lipitor. I take the smallest dosage known by man. As a matter of fact, my dosage is the smallest milligrams, whatever you call that shit. It's the lowest that Lipitor makes. It's in the category of why even make it this low? It's in that category. Very low dosage. And my doctor has me cut a pill in half, so I take half a pill a day on top of it being a low dosage. So I'm basically not even on Lipitor, I'm on Lip. So, and that is for cholesterol. And when you reach a certain age, everything you eat just sticks to your blood vessels. You don't digest the food, you stick the food. So she says that my cholesterol is totally like under control, but it's just a good idea to take it. And I said, oh, okay, fine, whatever, doctor. You are the doctor. I am nothing but a mere piece of crap. I never went to medical school. I even get lost at CVS in the pharmaceutical aisle. I don't even know what aspirin to take, or even if I should take aspirin, or anything like that. So I listened to her. So she tells me to take Lipitor. So I've been taking it now for about 3 years. And sometimes I skip it because I figured, well, I didn't eat anything too fatty today, so why even take this half a pill of the lowest dosage? I think my doctor just gets off on prescribing Lipitor. I think a Lipitor salesman came into their medical facility one day and said, hey, put all your patients on Lipitor and I'll give you $2,000 a week. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'll make sure you get in the who's who of doctors. You know, it's all a scam, a flam, and a bam, and, you know, that's not what my doctor would. If my doctor is listening, this is all just for the sake of humor. I don't really feel that way. I'm just kidding around. But if you're not my doctor, then I'm serious about this. I'm watching television. I think it was Judge Judy or something like that. And there's a lawyer commercial that comes on, and the lawyer says, if you're a woman and you've been taking Lipitor and developed type 2 diabetes, call our law offices. And I'm saying to myself, holy crap. Now, I'm not a woman. I played one on TV for about 6 years in a wonderful little show called, well, never mind. I hope that's funny. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But and I'm not a woman, so I guess I don't have to be concerned. But I'm concerned for my fellow woman, who do take Lipitor, who are women. They're developing diabetes. I don't want diabetes. Look, I'm like one step away from a woman. I'm a human being. They're a human being. There's only two sexes that I know of in the human being classification. That's the other one. This is this one. There isn't too much difference between us. We both have breasts. Yours are just larger than mine. And then you've got a different receptacle for your sexual needs. Other than that, we're exactly the same. I got to tell you something. Every once in a while, I watch a Lifetime movie. So that makes me a woman, kind of. So anyway, now I'm freaked out. So now I kind of stopped taking a Lipitor, but I haven't told my doctor because my doctor will yell at me. You don't understand. You must take Lipitor. You must. The salesperson for Lipitor came into my office and you must take this. She's going to yell at me. So I'm not taking it and I'm not telling her till the next appointment. Then maybe I'll get a little bit ballsy. But, you know, basically people are suing the Pfizer company. I think Pfizer company makes everything. They make everything. If it's a drug, they probably make it. So they're getting lawsuits now. So, okay, this is something that everybody told me was good for you. Even if you didn't have cholesterol problems, it was good for your heart. Now women are getting type 2 diabetes from Lipitor. I don't want diabetes. No, thank you. Thank you very much for offering me diabetes, but I choose not to have it. Everybody's blood sugar tends to go up as they get older anyway, so I don't need this other complication in my life. So I stopped taking it. But that opened up an entire door, a big door, of possibilities that all the stuff that we take, we find out it's not the case anymore. All the stuff that Dr. Oz, that son of a bitch, told us was good for us, and then you're going to find out somewhere down the line, eventually it's going to kill you. I'm serious. It happened with acetaminophen, with Tylenol. That used to be the big thing. You know, you got a headache, you got an ache, you got arthritis, you got anything to hurt you at all, you know, your nose itches, you got an eyelash, take acetaminophen, take Tylenol. And now the warnings from our government, whom I totally trust, the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, they tell us, I think that's what that stands for, it makes sense. They're telling us, don't take a lot of acetaminophen, it's like, it can be like poison. What? People have been taking this for decades and decades and decades. Oh, well, I'm afraid we were wrong about that. Wasn't it the government that told us, that issued cigarettes to our troops during World War II and World War I? Have a cigarette. It calms you down. It's actually good for you. You'll live longer. Smoke cigarettes. You'll live longer. Well, that apparently turned out to be not the case. from my understanding. Apparently cigarettes not good for you. So what the government was handing them out.
Well, I'm sorry, we didn't do any research. We just kind of, cigarette companies were like, really gave us free cigarettes, so we figured, you know, all they were trying to do is get everybody hooked, which they did.
That's apparently not good for you. And then they told us eggs were not, and then the flip side, eggs are bad for you. Eggs have cholesterol. Don't eat eggs. You have to be able to tolerate eggs. Don't eat eggs. Not good for you. And then they say, you know, the amount of cholesterol in eggs, that's kind of good cholesterol. It's not so bad. Go on, eat eggs. You're, don't fuck with me anymore. Stop it. You're just driving me nuts. Then they told me to have a couple of glasses of wine every day. I jumped on that one like flies on shit, man. I jumped on that recommendation immediately. They didn't finish the sentence and I was buying wine. So, wow, two glasses a day, that equals like a bottle, doesn't it? So I was drinking wine like crazy, and I thought, this FDA thing is really very cool now. And then they say, yeah, but be careful because too much wine and you got other problems. There's a lot of sugar content in wine, all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I can't do the wine. And then they're telling me, you know, have a couple of drinks a day. Wine or any alcohol is good for you. Now, I know that, you know, some alcohol company gave somebody an incentive to say that. So now I'm paranoid about everything. For about, I'd say about 15 years, I've been taking fish oil every single day of my life because it's got omega-3s. I don't know what the fuck an omega-3 is. If I bumped into one on the street, I probably wouldn't know it. I don't know what it is. But I'm putting oil from fish in my mouth every single day. I don't eat a lot. I eat fish sometimes, but I'm not an Alaskan crab fisherman. I don't eat fish all the time. So this is supposed to be good for you. It's got omega-3s. It's good for your blood vessels. It lowers cholesterol. It lowers blood pressure. It washes your car. This omega-3 stuff is amazing. Apparently, fish are the secret to life. And not the fish themselves, but their oil. And I didn't know fishes had oil. I had no idea. Do people have oil? They have oily hair. But would you start taking pills made of people oil? I really don't know. Is motor oil going to be good for you someday? I have no idea. It's not tasty. But fish oil apparently is good for you somehow. And look, I had goldfish when I was a kid. Those little fuckers died in 2 days. So I don't know where this fish oil story is coming from. They don't seem like the healthiest thing to me. As a matter of fact, if you don't change the water in the fish bowl, these suckers will die in like 2 seconds. And if you take them out of water, they'll flap around and they'll expire right in front of you on the floor. So how healthy are these things? So I'm not comfortable with what I am told, and I don't know what to do. And I'm concerned about my doctor because I can't take what she says blindly. I have to question her, but we don't do that. If our doctor tells us to do something, we do it immediately because they can strike the fear of God in you. And the reason is because we don't know that much stuff. We didn't go to medical school like they did. And that's how I started on this thing, because when I went to high school, I dissected frogs and crayfish. I don't know what a crayfish is. I think that's how you get cray paper. I don't even know what cray paper is. But we used it to decorate everything when I was a kid. You're having a birthday party? Get some cray paper. You're pregnant? Get some cray paper. I don't know what cray paper is. I have no idea. But we were dissecting crayfish and frogs, and it was just awful. And to this day, I got to tell you something. I never in my life needed to dissect the frog ever. It never came up again. It never did. I'm sorry, but it didn't. That was the biggest piece of worthless information. You could have given me a picture of a frog and shown me in the picture what the intestines look like in a frog and the little heart and the little organs. Personally, I don't know why we're doing frogs. Maybe they were cheap and everybody could have their own frog to dissect in school. Maybe that was the way to go economically. Better than real human cadavers, I suppose. But there was no reason for me to know what was inside a frog ever. At all. I have no idea. I truly believe that frogs and animals have digestive systems and organs and all this kind of shit going on in their body. But I never really had the occasion to have to deal with that. So I don't quite get that part. But I was traumatized by dissecting things in, I guess it was biology class. I assume it wasn't history or physical gym or anything. It was biology class. Yes, it was. It was awful. And it smelled like formaldehyde. And it was just horrible. I didn't eat for a week after dissecting the frog. And I never looked at frogs the same way again. It's like Superman. I have X-ray vision and I don't see the frog. I just see their insides. And I don't know why I was taught that. I have no idea. Never came up in conversation. Never sat down with a beautiful woman at a restaurant. And never came up. She never asked me anything about frogs or anything like that. You ready for this? Here we go again. Hey, Susan, thanks for meeting me for drinks. You're the prettiest girl in the office pool, in the pool of office. You're beautiful, Susan.
Thank you, Ron. Can I ask you a question before we have dinner and probably go up to my place and have unbridled sex?
Sure, but what does unbridled mean? What is unbridled? Why not just sex? What's unbridled? What does that mean?
I don't know.
What'd you want to ask me before we have unbridled sex?
Have you ever dissected a frog?
Yes, Susan, I have.
What was it like?
What was it like? It was... I don't remember.
Tell me what you did. Did you split it down the middle, down its stomach?
Yes, Susan, yes I did. I split it down the middle in its stomach.
Did you remove all the organs?
Yes, Susan, I removed all of the organs. Didn't leave any of them in there. Took them all out.
And then what did you do with the organs that you had removed from the stomach-splitted frog?
I put them back, not in the same places, because I forgot where they came from, but I put them all back in the frog.
Wow. Can we skip dinner and go right up to my place?
Yes, Susan, yes, we can.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aqua Mira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water Aqua contains Mira. Only the finest hand-selected waters gently and sustainably culled from free-range certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aqua Mira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel cruelty-free tanks and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aqua
Each
Mira.
Non-GMO serving of Aqua Mira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aqua
yes,
Mira.
Let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aqua Mira.
Find Aqua Mira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aqua Mira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Wow. Hey, I got a question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today,
you know what I find fascinating, besides you, are those little wristbands. They're made out of some kind of cloth or something, out of dissected frog parts. I don't know. And you wear it around your wrist when you're working out. And I guess it supports your wrist so that you can pick up things that are heavy in the gym. I really don't know. But it's interesting how these little wristbands are make you look athletic even if you don't pick anything up. If you dress athletic, therefore you are. If you walk around wearing a spandex top and gym shorts, you are automatically athletic. You don't have to run. You don't have to jump. You don't have to pick up weights. You don't have to get on a treadmill. You don't have to get on a stationary bike. And by the way, what the hell is the point of a bicycle that doesn't go anywhere? I totally never got that idea. That's like getting exercise singing in a car with no engine. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, all you have to do is dress like you're athletic. Therefore, you are. The wristband is kind of almost sexy. Almost sexy. Not quite, but almost. Because it makes it look like at some point you've lifted something and you had to have some type of strengthening tool on your wrist so that you didn't hurt yourself. You don't have to be lifting. All you have to do is look like you did. What I will do is I will put on my gym shorts and a wife beater t-shirt, an excellent name for that t-shirt, by the way. I don't know why somebody would name it that. It's like I'm wearing my axe murderer pants. It's just a horrible name for a garment. Wife beater. I'm wearing a wife beater, and I'm proud of it, too. That's what I do. I can't beat you up right now, wife, until I put my wife beater on, then we do it right. And by the way, that's the voice of the wife beater. All you got to do is look athletic. So I put on my athletic clothing, and I take a spray bottle and spray my face and my body so that it looks like I've been sweating, but I'm not really sweating. I just sprayed myself with a water bottle to make it look like I'm sweating. And then I stand out in the middle of an open field, and I just wait for somebody to find me quite athletically attractive. it never works, by the way. But people find it interesting, as I do. And that's what I'm wearing.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the program here. This is what we do every single weekday. Yeah, I know. Tedious? I don't think so. There's like 2 billion subjects to talk about that we all go through in life. There's 2 billion people to talk to. So this just never gets old to you. To me, this got old a long time ago, but whatever. Coming up in a few days, I believe on Monday, unless the show's a repeat, which I never have done yet, but if it's a repeat, then it's not true. But on Monday, we're going to speak to Air Force Amy. She's a prostitute, a legal prostitute, with the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Nevada. These people have been guests on my show, the owner and Dennis Hoff and some of his people have been guests on the show frequently because they're interesting people. There are towns and cities in Las Vegas, basically towns in Las Vegas, where prostitution is legal. It's the only place in the country where prostitution is legal. And it's the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. You go up there and you meet up with one of their well-tested prostitutes. Air Force Amy is one of them, and she will join us on the program on Monday. You don't want to miss that. How often in your life do you get to talk to a prostitute or hear a prostitute talk? They actually do talk. Do you like to do things yourself besides masturbate? Do you? I am so bad at do-it-yourself stuff. I watch do-it-yourself television programs where these people do it themselves and it always turns out well. Every time I've tried to do something myself, it turns out wrong. Always wrong. However, we decided to speak to one of those expert people who do the do-it-yourself shows, television shows and all that. And Carter Osterhaus is one of them. They're actually running a contest where you can win things. And Carter's going to join us right now, and we're going to find out what's going on. What's going on with Carter? Carter's cool. Carter's cool. This is for do-it-yourself people or for people that don't do it themselves, which kind of covers everybody. I do nothing myself. I hire people to do everything. About the only thing I do myself is breathe. Beyond that, I pretty much find other people to do things for me because they can do it so much better than I do. And also, I'm helping the economy whenever I hire somebody to do something that I could probably do myself, but probably not. So let's speak to Carter, shall we?
Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, Carter, how you doing? Good to talk to you.
Good, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're talking about do-it-yourself home improvement. Everybody knows Carter's a lifestyle expert, the guru of do-it-yourself, and we remember him from Trading Spaces. So you got a new show coming up, I understand.
Yeah, we got a couple new shows, which is good. One is Row House Showdown on FYI, and then we're just starting to shoot another FYI show where we're bringing the outdoors in, which is kind of a fun and interesting concept, which, you know, most people know about it, but then, you know, the really bringing the outdoors in and making it work is kind of a, you know, a little bit of a new take in the home renovation space.
Cool. Now, I'm one of those people that every time I do it myself, I regret it, and then I'm stuck. So I need to get into this because, you know, you spend a lot of money doing stuff when you have other people do it. Have you turned, like, beginners into people that actually know what they're doing?
Well, you know, absolutely. Look, Ron, just tell you the truth. Yeah. We're all kind of, you know, beginners in some area of home improvement. But, you know, some projects are a little bit easier than others. And it's really about preparation and planning, making sure that you understand what you're the project you're going to tackle, and that you're fully equipped to make sure that that project, you know, goes smoothly.
Okay. So I guess I need to equip myself with basics to be able to take on some of these household tasks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, the basics are fairly, you know, simple for what you should have around your house. Mm. And that is, you know, it's a hammer, it's a screwdriver, it's a tape measure, the level and a wrench. I mean, those are the basics of what you should have. And, you know, right now, summertime, we're where we take on a lot of other projects, those do-it-yourself projects, because the days are a little bit longer, people have a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to have Advil as well, because, you know, within this summertime, you're doing these projects, and you're probably going to start lifting things that you weren't lifting, using muscles that you weren't. True. And so we're trying to, you know, keep those aches and pains at bay. But also, we're having a great sweepstakes where people can win prizes as well as $15,000 cash and a video call with me on their, about their DIY project.
So how do I do the sweepstakes? What do I do?
So we want people to upload a pic to Twitter or Instagram of them failing or nailing their project.
That's
easy. So show us some pics that, you know, where you did a wonderful job or you did a complete disaster. But the whole idea here is to encourage and celebrate people, you know, working on projects. And like I said, we're going to give, make sure you hashtag DIY relief as well as hashtag Advil sweepstakes. And, you know, that lucky winner is going to get $15,000 for their next do-it-yourself project as well as a video call. And I'll give them a couple tips and, you know, suggestions and ideas to help them get through that project.
Sounds like fun. You know, I don't do it myself often, although sexually I guess I have to. but that's a whole nother subject. The few times that I've completed a project, I really noticed a difference in what I've done. I relish what I've done, and it's like I feel wonderful and fulfilled, as opposed to paying someone to do something. They walk away and it's done and I don't care. But I mean, there's such a different feeling about completing a project and then having been a part of it.
You know, one of the easiest projects is just painting your home. You know, some people are so opposed to even trying to get out a paintbrush and a roller. And, you know, that is the simplest, easiest form of transformation within your space. And when you do it, you know, when you have a burgundy room or a beige room that runs to, you know, red or blue, you know, it's just such a transformation, and you feel so good about it, and your confidence. Well, I mean, look, your home is your place where you should love where you live, absolutely. And I encourage people to, you know, try to make the most of it. And when you do it yourself, it makes it all that much sweeter.
Yeah, and it's fun to change things up every once in a while. It makes life a little more exciting. So what are some summer projects that I could do that would spruce up my place?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, curb appeal is a huge thing that people love to not tackle, you know, because they just want to work on the inside of their home. So whether it's, you know, floral out front, whether it's, you know, just a little paint, like a new paint on your door, you know, sprucing up your porch area. If you're working in the flowers world, make sure you know what's going to work in your region, what's indigenous to the area. Maybe look at your neighbors. You can always steal great tips from your neighbors. See what they're doing. See what you like, what you don't like, what flowers are working for them. You know, that's like a really easy way. Flowers and floral are just an easy way to get in there. It's a little tough, and you may be spending a little bit more longer days outside. But still, you know, the payoff can be amazing. But also patios, too. You know, patios seem like such a daunting task, but I recommend that people just take a string line, a couple stakes, a pair of scissors, run, you know, where you've always wanted to put that patio, run the string line and the stakes, you know, in some form or fashion of what your patio or you think your patio should or could look like, and then confer with friends and family and see if it's too large or too small, and then you approximately know visually what it potentially can look like.
That's a good idea, because I would just normally, if you hadn't have said that, I would have said, yeah, that look it over there. There's the patio.
It's pretty much the easiest way to get a visual of a larger project like a patio.
Interesting. Yeah, you can actually walk around the area and get a feel for what you're going to do. I like that. I never thought of that, because I don't do those things, so there you go. All right, so... we're reaching the end of our time, but I do want to reiterate that contest, because $15,000, I mean, seriously, come on. And I can even take a picture of me doing something wrong, so I'm a shoo-in.
Absolutely. Just send photos. Upload pic to Twitter or Instagram of you failing or nailing your project. Hashtag DIY relief, hashtag Advil sweepstakes. And if you want to go to Advil.com for more information, it's an easy way to figure it all out.
Excellent. Now, Carter, what if someone wanted to follow you and the TV shows and all that? Do you got a website?
Absolutely. CarterOsterhoff.com and or hashtag Carter Oster. And that's with two O's.
Yes. Hey, pleasure speaking to you. A lot of fun. Continued success, and we'll hook up again.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Appreciate it. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, Carter. By the way, Carter's last name, in case you want to Google him. Yuck. Google. His last name is Osterhaus, but it's O-O-S-T-E-R, and then House. O-O-S-T-E-R, House, which is, sounds like a German kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just sounds like it. Thank you, Carter. I'm always in awe of people that can do things like that. See, that's worth going to school for, to figure out how to build things. That's a worthwhile project. Dissecting a frog doesn't get you anywhere. At all. If you want to be a doctor and start dissecting people and performing human operations, you go to medical school. But there's no reason that a kid should be sitting in junior high school dissecting frogs. It's just absurd. Why do they make me do that? Awful. You don't dissect things unless you're a medical student. Otherwise, why do they teach me half the stuff that... I was horrible at history because there was no creativity in history at all. So every time I had a history class, I would like have a hysterectomy. I would just not be interested at all. You can't make anything up. It's all like it happened or it didn't. You learn the facts about what happened, and that's the class. And I'm like a 100% creative person. I can't do stuff that's just there. I can't do it. I have to think of a twist on it, and I don't know. So I was horrible at history. I didn't fail the class because I was somewhat smart, but I didn't do well in it at all. I just passed by the skin of my chinny chin chin. The hair of my chin, I know, whatever. It's horrible. And again, absolutely of no use to me whatsoever in life at all. the fact that Robert Fulton invented the steam engine, good for you. Why do I need to know that? I know what steam engines are. Robert Fulton invented it. Unless that comes up as a trivia question, I didn't really have to know that. If I wanted to know who invented the steam engine, I could just go find out. If it came up in conversation, I would never need to know that. I just don't understand. Some of this curriculum is just odd to me. When would I need to know that Robert Fulton invented the steam engine? Unless I was sitting in a bar and a hot, sexy woman comes up to me. I'm getting so much mileage out of this music, it's not funny.
Hey, what's your name?
My name's Ron. What's your name?
Becky.
Hi, Becky. Can I buy you a drink?
I can't stop you. Can I ask you a question, hot, sexy man?
Sure. Anything, Becky.
Would you be willing to have some hot, unbridled sex with me?
Unbridled, Becky?
Yes, sex with no bridles. We can go up to my apartment and get it on right now.
How about the drink?
We can skip the drink and go up to my place and get right to it. But before we do, I have a question for you.
Sure, Becky. I've never lied to you up until now. I've only known you for 30 seconds. But whatever, what is your question?
you know who invented the steam engine? Will Ferrell? I believe it was Robert Fulton. You got that wrong. I'll see you later.
Wait a minute, what about going up to your apartment and having the hot, unbridled sex?
Well, I'm afraid you didn't know who invented the steam engine, so sorry.
Becky? 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 Becky! Come back, Becky! Becky! Becky, come back! I know how to dissect a frog! Thank you for spending time with me today. It is so appreciated. I can't begin to tell you, so I won't. Until next time, I wish you peace.